George, welcome to the show, and congratulations on your announcement. You're going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame class of 2020.
Thank you very much. It's the greatest honor I can have. Thank you. I'm thrilled.
Well, George, I want to go back. We have a little segment we do on the show called Story Time, where we kind of hear about people's stories. And, you know, a lot of people know you as a UFC fighter, but you had to do, you know, a lot of stuff to get there. And, you know, I remember I met you, George, when I was doing play-by-play for the Edmonton Rush, and you and I had a unique conversation. Bruce Irvin had brought you in, and I was asking you there briefly about how you got into mixed martial arts, and you're like, well, I kind of did it because I got bullied as a kid, and it was something, you got into mixed martial arts and different things just to give you some confidence more than anything else. So I guess take us back to maybe your first class. What was it? Jiu-jitsu? Was it karate? What was the first mixed martial arts class you took?
Well, my first teacher was my dad. My dad is a black belt in Kyokushin karate, so I've learned martial arts first as a self-defense.
Okay.
And then the self-defense became a passion, and the passion became a business. And that's how it went. I was bullied at school, and my dad was teaching me, and I was a big fan of Jean-Claude Van Damme, but unfortunately, my dad was working too much. He couldn't teach me on a regular basis, so he put me in a school to learn karate, and that's how everything started for me.
So once you learned and started it, did you defend yourself against the bullies, or did they just stop picking on you once they knew that you could take them down?
Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you that I defend myself and I beat everybody, but it did not happen like that. It was a slow process, and I realized the bully are like a predatory animal in nature. They will go hunt. They will go and bully the weakest people. So the predator animal, a lion, will hunt, for example, a zebra who's old or who's hurt or who's little. Same thing in society. The bully will go after someone who seems weak. And I was growing up a kid that lacked a lot of self-confidence. I didn't have a good self-image of myself. And martial art changed that. It teach me how to stand up straight. When I shake someone's hand, it's firm, and I look at him in the eyes, and I you know, I have a different demeanor. And by changing myself from the inside out, I change my environment.
George St. Pierre joins us. I love that, George. Of all the mixed martial arts, if there was somebody out there who had a son or a daughter, 7, 8 years of age, is there one that you recommend the best just to start to see if somebody can relate to mixed martial arts? Is one better at a young age just to get into?
Yeah, there is one better, and it's not martial art, it's gymnastics. The first sport a kid should do, I'm a big believer, gymnastics is the best to increase your fundamentals of athleticism. You start with gymnastics at first, then after you can switch to any other sport. Gymnastics has everything except maybe ball and eye coordination, but it's pretty much the best sport to develop athletic ability. And the proof of that is the word athlete is a Greek word and mean the capacity of an individual of moving. And if you take an athlete from any other sport in the world and try to make him do some gymnastic stuff, he will not succeed. However, if you ask a gymnastic athlete to try to reproduce the movement of any other athlete, he will do it, not as good, of course, but he will be able to do it at a certain point much better than the other way around. So gymnastics is the best sport to start with as a kid, whether you want to be a martial artist, anything. Gymnastics is the best.
I love it. George St. Pierre joins us. And George, you started out with karate, then you took up wrestling, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and even boxing when you got into your late teens. At what point did you figure out that you were pretty good at this?
I was always good as a kid, but I would say my talent exploded when I started in my teenage years, when I was I start to have being a teenager, because first I do it as a self-defense, and like I said, the self-defense became a passion, and it became a passion when I was a teenager. when I was a teenager, I started collecting medal and winning competition, and I was good, but I was not as good as I could be. I didn't reach my full potential, you know. It's like something was missing. But when I start to have the passion, to put the passion into it now, I was very, very good. I would say when I was a teenager, I was special. I would say around 14 years old, I was very different. 12 to 14, I was very different than the rest of the other one. I had a lot of passion, and I put a lot of energy into it, and I had a lot of good predisposition at first, but with all that combined, and I also had the chance to meet great mentors through my life to teach me and be at the right place at the right moment, and everything mixed together make the career that I have.
George St. Pierre joins us. He will be inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame in the class of 2020. George, I know you got your black belt, I think, before you were even 21 years of age. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, of course. I have a black belt. I have sundown in Kyokushin Karate and a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu also, and in Shidokan Karate.
So which is the hardest one? Which was the hardest one to reach a black belt for you?
They all very hard, and it's not the style, it's the person, your master who teach you. You know, you can have a black belt in karate and a black belt in jiu-jitsu easy in different systems, but some other system it's harder. You know, there is no curriculum that are universal to get a black belt. I mean, and the belt is only there to tie up your gi. You know, it has nothing to do with the skills of the person. You know, I've seen some blue belt beat black belt before, you know, and it happened all the time. The belt is just, for a personal achievement, you know.
Okay. So, George, now you get into, mixed martial arts, and you mentioned as a teenager you started to improve, and, you know, your first professional fight happened against Ivan Menjivar at UCC 7 in January of 2002. But obviously you must have had some amateur fight. How many amateur fights did you have before that one professional one?
I had a lot of amateur fights. I had a lot in karate, in different style of karate, in point fighting karate. I have a lot in Kyokushin karate. I have a lot in jiu-jitsu, grappling. I have in wrestling. I have in amateur boxing as well. You know, I have a lot of amateur fights. I have also in mixed martial art, but mixed martial art was not the same in amateur rule. First, it was kind of illegal. It was, the rules were different. Mm-hmm. From event to event, depending the who organized it. You know, it was with equipment standing up, and once you reach the ground, you're not allowed to punch. Some was with open hand on the ground. Some was wearing gi, some was not. It was not very well organized at the time. But over all my amateur career, I would say in terms of fighting, if you count the wrestling, the grappling, the karate, the boxing, and all that together, I must have had maybe 150 to 100 fights.
Wow. Was there one discipline that you liked best? Like, if let's say there was, there was a karate division of UFC,
yes,
and there was a wrestling division, was there one that you felt you were the best at or liked the most?
I never been the best at one thing. I was the best when you mixed everything, because I was I was very good at becoming and transform myself and becoming the perfect nemesis to my opponent. So in other words, if my opponent was a good wrestler, I was going to overstrike him. If he was a good striker, I was going to over-wrestle him. So I was always good at being the perfect antagonist to who I was fighting against.
Okay. George St. Pierre joins us. You had the five professional fights. Most of them were at UCC. Then the last one was at TKO. They were all in Quebec, in either Montreal, Gatineau, or Victoriaville. Then you signed with the UFC, and you make your UFC debut on January 31st, 2004, in Las Vegas against Cairo Parisian. Tell me about how different that was, if anything, for you suddenly going to the UFC.
Oh yeah, it was a dream come true. Because when I first started my career, before I even started, and I told my friend that's what I wanted to do, they all thought I was crazy. Then I became a professional mixed martial artist. Then once I became a professional, I wanted to become UFC fighter. And people say, "Oh, UFC is only the cream of the cream that is there. You're never gonna reach it." And I became UFC fighter. And once I became UFC fighter, I wanted to become champion of UFC. Then people were like, "You're never going to be champion. Matt Hughes is going to be there forever." Then I beat Matt Hughes. So the fact that people challenged me and told me that things are impossible to do, it always elevate and my anger to reach it, my hunger, to reach it.
Yeah, George St. Pierre joins. And George, Matt Hughes, that was only your third fight in the UFC when you took him on the first time. And I remember I read an interview afterwards, and you said that, you lost. Obviously, he was very good, but that maybe you were caught up. You respected him too much. You had so much awe of him. Is that fair? When you look back on it, you've only ever had two professional losses. Did his name, were you almost beaten mentally before that fight because you looked up to him so much?
Yeah, he was my like an idol, like an icon in the sport, and for me, I was going there not to win, I was going there to not lose. It's a different mental perspective when you consider that. And I could have beat him. If I look back at this fight, I'm kind of frustrated about myself. I could have beat it. I should have beat him, but I did not. Fights are different, and you fight a guy one day, you fight the other day, it will be a different result, the thing different will change. You never fight that same guy twice. And I was not the same person back then, and I have learned a lot from my loss.
Yeah, well, and that's you have to learn from it in this sport. There's very few mixed martial artists who go undefeated in their entire career, and you only had two losses. You look at when you learn from that, you get better. And was your second loss more frustrating for you than their first one?
Absolutely, it was more frustrating because I was supposed to win the fight. I was, I think, 11-1 favor, one of the biggest upsets in the sport. And but at the time it was the most humiliating experience of my life. But I'm happy it happened because it made me a much better fighter. When you lose, you have to identify why you lose, and knowing that the reason why you lose, so you never make the same mistake again. You can lose again for another reason, but not for the same reasons.
And that was to Matt Serra. You mentioned you were frustrated. You were 11-1 favorite. What went wrong in that fight, looking back this many years later? What happened?
Well, I got hit with a punch. I remember in the beginning of the fight, and when I got hit, I got dazed. I got wobbled. And I was frustrated because, for me, it's the first time it ever happened, so I wanted to go back and give it to him right away. And it was I should have stepped back and recompose and then engage again. But instead of that, I let my emotion take over, and I wanted to give it to him right away, and I got shot in the process, unfortunately.
George St. Pierre joined. And George, that's great to hear, because I watch you for years and you always seem to be the calm guy. We'd see at press conferences and, Josh Koscheck and all these other guys would always try to get you engaged, verbally and chirp at you. And you were always kind of calm, ho-hum. And outwardly, you never let your emotions get the best of you, even in the octagon most of the time. So outside of Matt Serra, was there any other time in your career where, a guy got you good and you let your emotions get the best of you, you just didn't lose the fight? Or did you learn from that and never again, after you got hit hard, you would just kind of retreat and give yourself a few extra seconds to recompose?
I've learned from that mistake and never made it again. When I fought Carlos Condit, he hit me with a kick to the head, and I fell on the ground. I felt the same emotion. But I knew at the time that if I would have tried to engage the fight with him right away, I probably would get knocked out because I was dizzy. So I step on my ego and I accept the fact that I was hurt. And he tried hard to finish me, but I survived the barrage of punches using a technique, the guard and the shield technique that we call. And I was able to come back in the fight and win the fight. So the loss that I had with Matsuura allowed me to win against Carlos Condit. So the sometimes what you think as a negative experience can turn out to a positive one.
George St. Pierre joined us. George, your last fight at the welterweight division, anyway, was Johnny Hendricks, who obviously was a pretty hard-hitting guy. Was Hendricks the hardest puncher you ever faced?
The hardest punch is the punch that will not hurt you, the punch that will knock you out cold. And I don't think it is the hardest punch because I got hit. I was aware of that I got hit. And I'm someone that grows very, very easy, too. He hits very hard, no doubt. But I fought a lot of guys that hit very hard, too, you know. So I think the fight that I got the most messed up is my first fight with DJ Penn. That fight, I was very badly hurt. It took me a few days. Against Hendricks, I had a few bruises on my head, but the next day I was playing volleyball in California, you know. So I was good, ready to go.
Okay, so sometimes it looks worse than it is, and I'm sure maybe there's some punches that didn't look like they hurt, but you felt the pain for
a few
days.
Yeah, but
more,
I was more in a mental state that I needed to take a break and take off from the sport, and it was more mental. I took a break and to rejuvenate myself because I was fighting the system against the performance-enhancing drugs, and I had to carry pressure for too long as well, being a champion for too long. And I just needed some vacation.
George, how do you respond to those? Because, you know, Hendricks and a few other fighters came out and accused you of taking performance-enhancing drugs.
Well, it's okay. I never refused to be tested. Hendricks refused to be tested when we fought. He didn't want it. So he ran away from the testing. I did the testing, and he ran away from the testing. So for him to say that I was cheating, you know, he is missing the boat on that.
George, I always appreciate your honesty. You were in a time, like, were you ever close? Like, was there ever serious discussions? Because at the height, you know, there was Anderson Silva and you guys dominated each of your weight classes. And a lot of people like, oh, it would be great to see those two fight. Now, obviously, there would have been a size difference for sure, and it would have been a catch weight. Was there ever any serious conversations for you and Silva to ever fight?
We never had a contract that stipulate that my next fight is against Anderson. However, we talked about it a few times.
Okay.
One of the things is, at that time, I was very busy. It was a lot of contender in my division. So every time I used to finish a fight, there was a guy waiting for me, and another one, and another one. It was a very busy time. And I don't want to learn. The best thing is, you don't want to learn from your mistake. You want to learn from other people's mistake. And watching other athletes that have tried to compete in different weight class. So because I had so much challenge as a welterweight, I knew that I needed, if I go up in weight class, I needed to go back down to finish my job as a welterweight, because that was my main weight class. And I thought, if I would have to compete in a heavier weight class, I need to get myself heavier. However, if you look at other athletes that have tried it, like Roy Jones, it's not to go up the problem. The problem to go up is no problem. Sometimes they do even better, but it's to go back down. Mm. Once they go back down, after they came, they did their challenge on the way at the heavier weight class, when they go back down, they ruin their career. So I didn't want to do the same mistake. But now, looking back at things, I know now that the best for me to compete, even if heavier weight class, I should just stay the same weight that I am right now naturally. I would compete at my best. And also, at that time, they didn't have anti-doping tests. You know, they didn't have a performance-enhancing drug testing. And I wanted to implement that at the time. I wanted to be part of the contract. And I don't think UFC wanted to do a cash weight and wanted to be doing anti-doping testing. And in the same time, at that time, they might not have been ready for that. And also, I had so much challenge one after the other, so I was crazy busy. So we never really had a real clear conversation on that, you know, on when and when it should have happened.
Okay. George, you made something that very few athletes at the peak of their career do. You walked away kind of like Barry Sanders did, and that's fine. I think that's your own right. But then you came back almost 4 years to the day, and you fought Michael Bisping, and you won the middleweight bout. You won the UFC middleweight championship. A lot of people wonder, because you were one of the fan favorites. People were like, I just want to see George fight again. How come after Bisping you never fought again?
When I fought Bisping, I made the mistake, tried to elevate my weight, which was a mistake. I should just have stayed the same weight that I am. But I didn't know that. I thought to compete in a heavier weight class, I would perform better if I'm heavier, which was a mistake. So I tried to follow a very strict regime. I tried to force myself to eat. And with the stress, I think it caused me a problem called ulcer colitis. Okay. And after the fight, I couldn't fight. I needed to take I need to heal that, and it was caused mainly by the stress and the food that I was trying. I was forcing myself to get breakfast. Sometimes I was throwing up my breakfast. You know, I was like throwing up, but I was trying to put on weight, which was a mistake. But So the idea was that I was going to fight again, but I didn't because of that, the health issues, and I didn't want to penalize the entire UFC roster for that. So when I knew I had health issues with this, I relinquished the title because I didn't want people waiting for me. Like a lot of fighters have done that. It wasn't my right to keep the title for 1 year and then walk around with it and gain sponsorship money and this, but I did not do it for respect of other fighters.
So George, what are you doing now? Are you coaching guys? Are you training guys? Are you working out?
I'm home in the isolation, training at home. I didn't have any equipment at home because I didn't want to bring my work at home. I'm home training, reading, cleaning, cooking, and trying to entertain myself the best I can.
Do you think you will ever fight again?
No, I don't think so. No, it would be. It's very unlikely.
Okay,
it's not because I cannot. It's because I don't want to.
Yeah.
I still get it. I go in the gym and I still get it. You know, I could if I wanted to, but the stress is so, a lot of stress.
Oh, I would think so. What about
if it come back? It need to be under my condition. I don't want to go back and fight three times a year. This time of my life is over. If I go back, it's something big. One on my turn, and I can leave after if I wanted to. I don't want to stay there and fight again and again and be stuck in a contract that says that if I win, I need to fight again. Otherwise, I'm liable for lawsuit. I don't want that.
Why has there not been a union yet for the fighters?
It will happen. It's just like any other sport. It will happen. It's not a question of if it will, but I think that everybody tried to get the power and they need to get the control, and that's what messed it up, I think. I think that's what messed it up, unfortunately. But, I try my best, I'm all for the fighters, you know, for the firefighters to improve in that.
Yeah, no, for sure. One before I let you go, George, you had a fun little kind of wrestling match with Georges Laroque. And I remember talking to George, a good friend of ours, we had him on the show, and he was like, man, I couldn't believe how strong you were, right? But George is like he was probably 260, maybe 270 pounds at that point, right? Talk about that, and did you take it easy on him?
No, but the thing is, if I would have fight him on the ice, he would have beat me up on the ice. But now we're on the ground, you know, like we're wrestling, and like it's martial art. I'm used to do it. I've done it all my life, so for him to step, he was stepping outside of his comfort zone. He did not realize that. He thought he would get me because he's bigger. But size doesn't really matter. If you've got the knowledge and the technique, it will beat size all the time.
Well, yeah, definitely. No, and quickness helps too.
Absolutely.
Do you skate, George? Can you play? You played hockey growing up. Do you still play at all?
I play a little bit. I never been a big hockey player, but I always play. I play sometimes with my friend, but I never put my passion into it like I did for martial art.
Well, George, we're happy you put your passion into mixed martial arts. You're one of the fan favorites, one of the most exciting fighters ever, and a well-deserved honor into the UFC 2020 Hall of Fame. Congratulations again, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.